This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thank you so much for joining us again. What do you do if you are a preacher's kid in Kansas and you decide one day, hey, I think I'll go to Hollywood? Well, for my next guest, it was a dream he was able to achieve. And now David A.R. White has written a new book about chasing your God-given dreams. He is an actor. He's founder of Pure Flix Entertainment and producer of the blockbuster film God's Not Dead, among others, and is also the author of a new book we're going to be discussing. It is called Between Heaven and Hollywood. Great title, and it's great to have you here, David. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, this is an interesting journey, a great story, I think very inspirational for a lot of people who grow up in normal circumstances and end up in big places. But what was it about Hollywood that appealed to you as a kid? Because as you mentioned, you were the kid of a preacher and you had kind of a normal Midwestern existence. What was your life like getting you from one place to the other?
And it actually wasn't even that normal when you think about that I was a Mennonite.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't know if you know much about the Mennonites, but I always say the Mennonites make the Mormons look like a pack of Hell's Angels.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I grew up conservative. I actually saw one movie in the theater the first 18 years of my life.
Oh, man.
And certainly didn't sing, dance, do any of that stuff. I was very sheltered, very conservative. That's the interesting thing I think about dreams is that God puts these little kernels of an idea, these seeds inside of each and every one of us. And it's how do you take that, you know, that's going on in your heart and put that into the writing on the wall? How do you live out those dreams in an actual day-to-day world? And that's kind of why I wrote the book, because I wanted to encourage folks that, you know, that even the most unlikely kid from, you know, the farthest away spot ended up, you know, following his dreams. And it is possible, because if I could do it, everybody could do it. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Okay, I have to ask you, what was the one movie you saw?
Well, I was 9 years old, I think. And I was at a buddy's house and his parents just took me to a movie theater. I had no idea what that, you know, obviously, and it was Grease.
Oh, yes.
So here I am watching Olivia Newton-John at 9 years old and thinking, oh my goodness, I for sure am on my way to a very dark place. I'm going to hell.
That's so funny. But that's interesting. And you talk a little bit about how your life rolled along and you became a Christian, obviously, when you were young. And you went on to Moody Bible Institute. This was kind of an interesting place in the story where you talk about how you ended up going out to Los Angeles at 19. What happened? Like, what was the journey that you took from going to Moody and you were on one track and all of a sudden you said, I'm just going to go to Los Angeles?
I felt a lot of, you know, my entire family had gone, graduated, and met their significant others at Moody. And so for me, after 1 year of Bible school, to call my parents and basically say, parents, I want to leave Bible school and I want to go to Hollywood to be an actor, was very unpopular, probably. But you know, my parents, I think they said the most, they basically said, David, as long as you serve the Lord in whatever you do and keep him first, then we support you. And I got to say that I think, you know, out of all the things that I could ever say, I hope that parents and myself included can say that to my children, because that meant the world to me. Even though they didn't understand it, they were not big fans of it at all. But they let me chase my dream, because my dad knew about the callings. He was a pastor, a minister, you know, a Mennonite pastor for many years. He had been saved late, and then God had put the call on him to go into the ministry, which made no sense either. And so I think he understood that, and so he let me go. And so I landed in Los Angeles. I was 19 years old. I didn't know a soul. I met one person and I ended up sharing this little, single apartment on Venice, on the boardwalk of Venice Beach.
Oh, wow.
And so I put my bed in the kitchen, this little single, you know, bed, and had about 3 inches between me and the refrigerator door.
Struggling actor. Yeah,
that's how exactly how far the refrigerator door could actually open. And then the guy lived in, you know, in the living room.
That's funny.
So,
well, no.
Yeah, it was tough, but you know, you kind of dive in first, and I think when you're a kid, you do a lot of things that you probably wouldn't do as an adult, in the way that, you know, you're young, you're naive, so you just kind of go for it.
Yeah.
And that's, I actually think there's a lot of guidelines in that, though, because so often, you know, we have these big dreams as a kid. You know, we want to own our own business. We want to be a race car driver. We want to be president of the United States. I mean, we have big dreams. And then what happens is we chop them down to these very manageable little proportions. So when we actually grow up, we don't get disappointed. And then we do the same to our kids, is because we ultimately don't want them disappointed. And I think that's the opposite of what we should do. You know, our God is the author of bigness, so to speak, not littleness.
Right.
We should set our dreams higher and chase the big dreams.
No, there's no doubt about it. When you talk about your naivete, you do have a naivete at 19 that you don't necessarily have at 35. But on the other hand, the naivete that you had and the dreams that you had made you more willing to take risks. I mean, how in the world would you have ended up in Hollywood at 35? You probably were a much different person by the time that you were fully into adulthood and not willing to take those risks. But where were you looking to go, David? I'm curious. Were you looking just to be an actor? Were you wanting to be a director? How big were your dreams at 19?
Well, it was primarily just to be an actor at first. And I always loved producing. I didn't understand what it was, but I kind of tried to do it in high school, despite that it was, you know, didn't make any sense to try to produce little videos, even though, you know, we had these, the VHS big recording things, you know, they were just that was like a brand new thing at the time.
Yeah.
And so that's why I started out, you know, and then I really got a big break. I was in L.A. for 6 months. I did a lot of different jobs before all of a sudden I ended up on a hit television show called Evening Shade with Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
And I was recurring on that for almost 3.5 years. And so, you know, and surrounded by all these movie stars and all these people that had either won Oscar, Emmys, or Tonys, were pretty much everybody on that show. And it was an incredible time for me, because I felt like, you know, I was doing what I loved. But it was also, I think, the Lord preparing me to meet a lot of people, and to you know, so when I went into, you know, it was my late 20s that I actually went into the Christian film industry, I had always had that passion as well. And that's what I think is a lot of times in life, you know, it's not one thing. We have to be careful that we don't go, well, I have this one dream, you know, and if I don't achieve that dream, then I'm a loser, or, you know, my life will never work out. Is because oftentimes in those, you know, we go on that road to one dream, but then it's amazing what God opens up.
Yes.
And I think for all of us, we have so much more inside of us than we give ourselves credit for, that we believe that we actually, that God wants to do this incredible thing through us.
Yeah. And when you take that initial leap, God moves you different places, and there are places that you often can't imagine you'd end up. I mean, who in the world would have known at 19, I'm going to direct God's Not Dead someday? I mean, there was no way you could have predicted that.
Absolutely. And there's another part of the book that talks about during the times when you're doing the things you don't want to do. For me, it was like my late 20s where my career had shot up, and then it had kind of plateaued, and then it all of a sudden started to descend very fast. And I found myself doing odd jobs. I mean, for one of the, you know, the book is riddled with just ridiculous stories that, you know, playing Barney the Dinosaur in South Central, Compton, with a gang on the, you know, on the corner. And just odd things that, here I was on a hit television show. How could I go from being way up high to really way down low? And it wasn't just for some rich family, you know. I'm literally in Compton, but I think in those midst of those areas in our life when we're not thrilled with what we're having to do, or we have to take a side job, or, you know, we get laid off, or our spouse leaves us, or, I mean, all kinds of hard things that come in to our lives, it's in those, it's the other side of it is it's during those times that we often think most about what it is that we're supposed to be doing.
That is a great point. Well, we're going to take a break. David A.R. White with us, Between Heaven and Hollywood. We'll come back on Janet Meffer Today right after this. A mother's womb has now become the unsafest place in America, with abortion being the leading cause of death and babies being aborted up to term in some states.
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, helping moms choose life. You see, when a mom in crisis sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
She did let me hear the heartbeat, and I was like, wow, it's something like living inside of me. It was a beautiful thing to hear.
Would you join with Preborn and Janet Meffer today and help save 400 babies by the end of this year? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds. And now through a match, your tax-deductible gift is doubled, saving 10 babies' lives. To donate, dial 855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-2229. Or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. The healthcare open enrollment period has ended. Did you miss it? Don't go a whole year without having a healthcare program. Sign up with Liberty HealthShare. As a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, Liberty HealthShare is not insurance, so you can still sign up. In fact, you can sign up any time of year, and there are no contracts. Starting as low as $199 a month, Liberty HealthShare has memberships for singles, couples, and families, so you can choose the ideal program for your situation. Plus, Liberty HealthShare has no network, so you're free to pick your own doctors, hospitals, and providers. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, so your money goes toward helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you, too. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. Go to libertyhealthshare.org/JMT for more information. libertyhealthshare.org/JMT.
You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. And now, here's Janet.
We are back on Janet Mefford Today. My guest, David A.R. White. He's an actor, producer of the blockbuster movie God's Not Dead, and also he is founder of Pure Flix Entertainment, and tells his story in the book Between Heaven and Hollywood, Chasing Your God-Given Dream. So we were talking a little bit about how you ended up in Hollywood, David, and sleeping 3 inches away from a refrigerator, and then ending up after having a hit show with Evening Shade, you ended up kind of doing odd jobs. And then you entered the Christian film industry. I mean, you went into faith-based films. You ended up founding your own production company. How did that come about?
Well, it came about when I found myself having a lot of time on my hands and doing jobs that I didn't want to do. And it's in those times that I often think that we think most about, you know, we actually give ourselves leeway to start to dream. We give ourselves, you know, we think most about what it is that we really want to do. And for me, it was, I always enjoyed the producing aspect of it. I just didn't know that it was inside of me. Hmm. And when I found, you know, all of a sudden I had this time and I knew the Christian film industry because I'd acted in several movies before then. And that old adage of do what you know.
Right.
I took that step even further and I said, you know what, I love the Christian film industry. It really has never been a genre. I mean, Hollywood never recognized it as a genre of its own.
True.
And how do I take that and expand that out? And so it just kind of started with one little movie. We raised $87,000. We put together, it was me and three other buddies that didn't really know anything about producing. But we took that step forward in the midst of the fear, in the midst of self-doubt about, oh my goodness, how are we going to do this? How can we accomplish this? And you know, and we made a little movie. And that little movie ended up going out, and it went all over the world.
Yeah.
And was it critically acclaimed by Hollywood? No, but you know, they didn't even basically know it existed until years later, when all of a sudden Sony Studios steps in and goes, "Oh my goodness, all these movies that he's made up to this point, we should take them out. We should repurpose them and re-put them out." And then all of a sudden, you know, they put their brand on it, and then it goes even further. But that's how we started out with the whole process. And then with PureFlix, there was no Christian studios. We were running up against roadblocks with all the major studios and trying to get them to distribute our movies. And so we really felt that the next dream that God had put into us was then start a production and distribution studio that is an alternative to what Hollywood is putting out there. And that's how PureFlix started at the end of 2005.
Oh, yeah. Well, and your movies have done so well. We've enjoyed them in our family. And I know everybody I know has seen God's Not Dead. Mom's Night Out is another one that you've mm-hmm. put together. You know, one of the things I've heard people talk about, you know, those of us who grew up with A Thief in the Night as our, you know, fair, we say not only has the quality of Christian movies gotten a lot better through production companies like yours, but also, hey, these are movies that have actors we know. That's also been a comment I've heard. Have you heard that one, too, that, oh, we're really coming into our own as Christians because we're starting to have actors who are famous in some of these movies?
Yeah, for us, it was just a matter of, and I think this is what, you know, God has a way of taking your life and using all those things that you didn't quite understand why, you know, or at some point you're like, Lord, why did you let me taste my dream if you're only going to take it away? But in the midst of me being in mainstream Hollywood, it was different than just being, if I had just gone into the Christian film industry. Like, and even my partners, Russell Wolf and Michael Scott, they had come from the auto producing spot commercials. They were producing high-end auto commercials. And so God uses all of these different relationships, all of these little different things that you learn along the way, and then he brings it in for his glory.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, even the Christian film industry has started becoming, is because, you know, we're getting better writers, we're getting better production people, we're getting better stars, all the way around. It's, you know, it's a genre that has been just growing and expanding out and it'll be interesting to see where it goes, because obviously it's had its ups and downs over the last 10 years. But certainly we're definitely on a, you know, it's going up right now.
Well, that's neat. What do you think about in terms of your purpose, doing what you're doing, where you are right now? The dreams that you had at 19 certainly were fulfilled to a great extent. You've had a lot of success. But how do you feel about your dreams at this juncture? What are your dreams where you are at this moment?
I think no matter how old we are, whether we're young, whether we're old, if you're not dead, then God still has a specific purpose and a plan for your life. And if you live out God's dream for your life, then you will not fail. And how do you know if those dreams that are inside of you are from the Lord? Well, I think they constantly switch and they constantly change. And so God has taken us to certainly a new level from, you know, after the God's Not Dead kind of opened up all kinds of different doors. But at the same token, it's still a matter of every morning I need to get up and bend my knee and say, Lord, you take my life. You let go of me, or I let go of myself, what it is that I want for myself, and I really want to do what you want me to do. And so those dreams, though, they still keep moving, and I still have a lot of dreams. In fact, the one that were a big dream of mine and our company's was Netflix, and an alternative to Netflix. And so we started PureFlix.com about a year and a half ago. And it's been there's over 5,000 titles on there right now. We just launched the Encounter series. We're doing our own original content now. And it is amazing how many people are loving this, because it's just an alternative, again, which was the whole reason why we even started. But this dream is certainly bigger than us, and I think that's what God wants. Is that dream bigger than you? And do you need God to help you fulfill it? Because he doesn't want us just doing things in our own strength. And so that's a big thing for us right now. It's not an easy path by any means.
Yeah, and I know millions of people out here in America really appreciate that you're doing that kind of work, because you're helping people who want to find good entertainment. And I'm curious, there is always discussion anytime you talk to a Christian in Hollywood, what is it like to be a Christian? Do you get a lot of hate? Mm-hmm. How do you maintain your faith? How do you maintain your witness? What have you seen as the biggest challenge as a Christian in Hollywood? Or do you think it has been a challenge just to be a Christian in Hollywood, apart from the main issue of trying to make it in Hollywood as anybody would try?
There's no doubt about it. It's tough to be a Christian anywhere you go, you know, and to try to follow the Lord and not get sucked in by all the things that the world wants to offer and, you know, and squeeze out that life and that joy inside of you. There's no doubt. But I also, I kind of look at it the other way, is that I think it's easier to be a Christian in Hollywood than to not be a Christian in Hollywood. Because if when you come to Hollywood, again, the world throws at you so many different things, and or no matter where you live, there's so many hardships and trials in life. But if you have a foundation, if that foundation is built on Jesus Christ, on God's word, then that is how you stand. You know, I run these verses with my kids every morning when I take them to school, and I love when they say, my little one, 6 years old, Isaiah 26:3, you know, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, God, because he trusts in God, because he trusts in thee. You know, and that is, and ultimately I think that's, it's easier to be a believer in this life than not to be a believer in this life.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Do you think there's anything in particular that makes a Christian movie a good movie in terms of quality and in terms of being able to put out what needs to be put out? How do you connect those two things between a Christian movie and a good Christian movie? How do you make it a good Christian movie?
It's tricky. I'm not going to lie.
I'll bet, because I know.
But ultimately, every movie starts with a story. And what is the story you're telling? And it gets a little trickier when you deal with faith-based things, because it's not like you're just telling a story. It's how do you organically entwine and interweave faith and God in the midst of the trials and the tribulations. And yet on the opposite side, I love it more, though, because I would rather, you know, there's so many movies out there that Hollywood puts out, and I'm not trying to bash Hollywood, because obviously they do a lot of great movies too, and I love the cinema. But at the end of it, it's always so sad when you see a movie about brokenness and then they just kind of come out of it, but there's no real hope.
Yeah.
And where is that hope even built on? And how do you solve that marriage? How do you solve those problems with that life or the person who, you know, who's gone through this hardship? And, you know, and they obviously there's the generic messages of, you know, just keep pushing through or, you know, life is grand and all these things. But really, the core is God. Mm-hmm. The core is we find our peace, we find our hope, we find truth in the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's well said. I think that's really good. What about young Christians who might be listening and saying, I always wanted to go to Hollywood. Now I'm feeling like maybe I could actually do it. Clearly not everybody who goes to Hollywood makes it or gets roles or becomes successful. What would you say to a young Christian who says, I think God might be calling me to do that?
Well, first and foremost, I always say, if you can think of anything else in the world to do and be happy, then go do that.
Just flat out there.
just let me put that out there, because it's a hard industry. You know, one in a million survive. Like, there's so many people that come out here and they get eaten up, or they get, you know, they go through it and then they end up just going home because it's just hard. However, if you can't let that dream go, and I believe that this is, you know, I talk about this as well as, you know, how do you know if that dream is inside of you is from God and you're supposed to do it? Well, one of the ways I say is if you can't let it go, then there's a good chance that it's from the Lord, because a God-given dream is a bothersome thing. It keeps bobbing its head to the surface of your heart, just clamoring for your mind's attention. And if it's behaving in this way and you cannot let it go, then there's a good chance that is from the Lord. And then I would say, just go for it then. And the amazing thing today that was not that when I was growing up is that even in all these different states all across the U.S., they have these rebates for film. And so you go to Louisiana, you go to, you know, New Mexico, you go to Michigan, you go to Minnesota. All of these places now are getting more and more films being shot there because of the rebates for the producers from the state. And so just start where you're at.
Start where you're at. It's great advice. Well, David A.R. White, thank you so much, David. Between Heaven and Hollywood, the book, and we'll be back. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is sponsored by Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit healthcare sharing ministry that allows you to control and manage your own healthcare and choose any doctor or hospital in the nation. If you're a freedom-loving American looking for contract-free healthcare, call now 855-585-4237 or go to libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Janet Mefford Today. And now, here's your host, Janet Mefford.
Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. Well, as we leave 2016 behind, there is a lot of hope and also a lot of trepidation. Despite the promise of a new year, we still have with us political and economic unrest. We have the threat of terrorism always with us. And of course, we always have the daily stresses and trials that affect all of us every day of the year to different extents. Now, Psalm 55:22 tells us, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. How do we live our lives in these days with stability, though? This seems to be an ongoing question. This can only come about when we are rooted and grounded in the Lord. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today with Jeannie Nigro, who is founder of Jeannie Nigro Ministries. She is a conference speaker and teacher who's also heard on her television platform, Facets of the Stone. And today we'll be talking about her book. It is called Unshaken, Standing Strong in Uncertain Times. So good to have you here, Jeannie. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Janet. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you. Well, tell us a little bit about you. You give some personal information and tell a little bit about your story in your book. You were the youngest of seven. You talk about growing up emotionally disconnected. And just wanted to let you share a little bit about your life and how it was that you learned how not to be shaken in these turbulent times of ours.
Okay, sure. Well, yeah, I did grow up actually in Northeast Ohio and the youngest of seven. And I moved to California searching for truth. Never thought I would find it in God. And when I was 28, got saved and found the Lord, or he found me, rather, and changed my life, went from death to life. I was at a point, actually, then when I wanted to kill myself. So I completely went from death to life and found what I had been searching for, the meaning of life and love and acceptance and hope. And so in that time frame, I've been teaching and just studying and growing closer to the Lord. And it was really about a few years ago when ISIS and this whole terrorism becoming more of a larger issue for us, that I found myself actually at a dinner conversation with someone who had high-level intelligence, and they were sharing all these things that were going to happen. And I just became paralyzed by fear. Mm-hmm. I went back to my hotel room that night. I was disoriented. And I thought, why even go on? Why should I even teach again? Why should I send my daughter to school tomorrow? I just felt, if these things are going to happen, then I just want to crawl under the covers and hide, with my family. So I had just been teaching that day on freedom from fear. So I had to apply what I taught. And I prayed to the Lord the next morning and I said, Lord, because when we fear, Janet, there's always some lie that we're believing about God or about ourselves, usually both. And so I said, Lord, what lie am I believing about you that I'm so paralyzed? This fear is not from God.
Right.
Regardless of whether it's justified or not, he has not given us the spirit of fear.
Right.
And so I asked him to show me what was going on. And he showed me what I was believing. Because oftentimes when we are believing a lie about God, we're not even aware of it. Mm. Someone asks you, well, do you believe God's always with us? Of course, God's always with us. But yet if we believed he was always with us, would we ever fear or stress? No. So there's something deep down that we're actually believing. And he showed me that I was believing that because it was the end times, he had checked out, basically. Mm-hmm. He was kind of standing there watching the whole thing, but he wasn't going to get involved anymore. He was just waiting to send Jesus back. And until that time, I was on my own. And it was really rooted in some old lies that I grew up with. Oftentimes messages that we grow up with can impact how we see God. And I had felt very unprotected from my dad and older brothers. And I was really putting their face on God and seeing myself as unprotected, that he was just watching, that he wasn't really interested in the details of my life anymore, and that I was on my own. And then I had to kind of figure it out and fight for myself. And all of those are lies. Mm. And so when he showed me these things, what he's calling us to do when we believe these lies, what they do, it's really a spiritual battle. They give the enemy ground in our hearts and in our lives, because they're lies, and the enemy is the father of lies. So we need to then use spiritual weapons of warfare and confess the lies and forgive anyone that's involved and really cancel the authority that we've given the enemy in that situation. And when we do that, then we can hear from him. And then he spoke the truth to my heart that became the catalyst for writing the book Unshaken.
Very cool. Well, when you talk about being fearful, and I relate very much to the terrorism talk. I talk about terrorism quite a bit.
Yes.
And if you really get into that after a while, you can really become very fearful, even though you understand, as you said, that
Absolutely.
The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. When you look around, though, you do see, even though we are Christians, a lot of Christians feeling that way or giving up and saying, we're at the end times. Mm-hmm. It's all over. Why should we continue to press forward with the gospel? Why should we continue to build churches and try to bring Christ to people who don't yet know him because it's all over? What was it that brought you out of that mindset? You talked about discovering lies that you mm-hmm. believed. What was the problem? Why do you think, looking back on it now, you were susceptible to feeling that fear when you knew better?
For me personally, Janet, I think it was because of the old messages in my heart from growing up. I call them strongholds, you know, lies that we believe about ourselves that end up distorting how we see God. So for me, I think it was those old messages of being unprotected. I was very alone when I was little. Even though I was as young as a seven, I was basically alone all the time. And so it was that sense of I'm on my own. I have to protect myself. No one's there for me. I have to figure this out. And so those things that were really at the root of it. And then you get the current day reality of, well, of course it's scary. You know, ISIS could come and do this and that. Right. So there's this mix, you know, of the old messages and then the current reality. And before you know it, you're fearing. But I think it's important, though, to recognize that behind it all is a spiritual battle and that it's the enemy really wanting you, in a sense, to believe the lie. He's the father of lies. And because then he gets a handle in the situation and you end up being either paralyzed or sometimes I found that most people respond either in fear and stress or anger and frustration or just giving up, like apathy. Well, there's nothing I can do. What's going to happen is going to happen. It's all in the book. You know, what can I do? And when I confessed and canceled the authority of the enemy and said, you know, I bind the spirit of fear, then it was like cutting the ropes that I had given the enemy this handle, and then I could hear from the Lord. Because sometimes we don't hear from him because we're giving the enemy all this ground in our lives, and then we blame God. We say, well, he talks to everybody else, but not me, and I'm not good enough, or I'm not, you know, good enough, spiritual enough, and that's not true. God desires intimacy with us more than we could ever imagine. And so when we do that, we can then hear from him. And he, even the part about giving up, he just reminded me, of the parable of the talents. And I looked that up and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, he calls the servant who just hid and waited for the master to come back the wicked servant. So obviously it's not his will for us to just hide out until Jesus comes back. And he's considering us the wicked servant. So I really started praying, Lord, show me, what are you calling me to do? What are you calling us to do at this time? And that's what, again, it came out of the Unshaken, which really grew into it. Just the Lord just kind of guided it as I was writing it. It started out being more about fear, but then really grew into understanding what are the, I call it the facets of God's heart, or what's on his heart for the future. And when we align with that, and when we align with on God's heart, then we grow in intimacy, and then we have an action plan for today. Because I think so many of us are wondering, what can we possibly do? We watch the news every morning. I see the news, and it's like, you know, what can I possibly do to impact that? And there's really a lot that we can do to impact the spiritual world around us, to make a difference, not only now, but in the future to come when Jesus comes back and rules and reigns in the millennium.
I look forward to that.
I can't wait.
Every single day. I know. And I want to dive into a little bit more detail on intimacy with God, because mm-hmm. that's what you say in the book. The key to being unshaken in these times is intimacy with God. Give us a little preview. Why, when we talk about the Christian life, is intimacy with God key to not being shaken?
Well, Janet, first of all, it's the only thing that can never change. I say the key to being unshaken is to remember that the only thing that can't change is who God is and how he sees you. Mm-hmm. And when we get that in our hearts, then we realize that everything else can change and we don't have to be shaken, because I know the only thing that can't change is who God is and how he sees me. And it's really our purpose for living. It's our purpose for life is to have experience that intimacy with him. Okay. So once we really grasp that, then I think that's the start of staying unshaken.
Well, that is excellent. We're going to pick up on that when we come back from this break. Jeannie Nigro is my guest, and the name of her book is called Unshaken: Standing Strong in Uncertain Times. And when we return, we're going to talk more with Jeannie about intimacy with God. It's so important as Christians not just to believe the right things about God and believe the right things about Christ saving us, but also to know him in a deep and intimate way. So we're going to come back. You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. We'll return right after this.
I was afraid. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. Everybody wanted me to have an abortion.
But he was like, you're not ready for another baby. And at that moment, I felt that I'm not going to be able to be a mom to this baby.
These are the voices that a young mom in crisis hears. She wants to make the right choice, but society and those around her are telling her that a preborn baby is not a life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, shining a light into a mother's womb, introducing her to the beautiful life growing inside of her.
She said, "There go the heartbeat." That changed my life just from that ultrasound picture.
Would you join with Preborn and Janet Mefford today to help save 400 babies by the end of the year? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds and help save 5 babies from abortion. And now through a match, your gift is doubled. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial 1-855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-2229, or there's a banner at janetmefford.com. The healthcare open enrollment period has ended. Did you miss it? Don't go a whole year without having a healthcare program. Sign up with Liberty HealthShare. As a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, Liberty HealthShare is not insurance, so you can still sign up. In fact, you can sign up any time of year, and there are no contracts. Starting as low as $199 a month, Liberty HealthShare has memberships for singles, couples, and families, so you can choose the ideal program for your situation. Plus, Liberty HealthShare has no network, so you're free to pick your own doctors, hospitals, and providers. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, so your money goes toward helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you, too. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. Go to libertyhealthshare.org/JMT for more information. libertyhealthshare.org/JMT.
You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. And now, here's Janet.
Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. I'm so excited to have with me today Jeannie Nigro from Jeannie Nigro Ministries, and her book is called Unshaken, Standing Strong in Uncertain Times. And we certainly always feel that, don't we, Jeannie, that we are living in uncertain times. No matter how good life is, it can change. And you said something I think very significant before we went to the break, and that is the things that don't change. Mm-hmm. God does not change. His character does not change. And so that is the truth that we need to hang our hats on, that the Lord Himself is our foundation. When you talk about the need to have intimacy with God in order to remain unshaken, mm-hmm. what sort of advice do you give to Christians on how to maintain that intimacy with God? Because we do feel our emotions going up and down. Oh, today I feel close to God. Yesterday mm-hmm. I didn't feel so close to God. It's not based on our feelings, though, is it?
Not at all. And I would say that, first of all, as I mentioned before the break, we've got to get in our hearts that fact and grasp it, that the only thing that can't change is who He is and how He sees you. So, for example, if someone's upset with you or rejects you or doesn't like you, or, you know, there's all those things that kind of push your button or make you feel sad or shut down or whatever, or angry, and I have to stop and think, wait a minute, how God sees me hasn't changed. You know, maybe they're not happy with me today, or maybe they've judged me, or they've done this or that, they've accused me of something, but God's not, that's not His voice toward me. And so that helps me to stay unshaken, and then to recognize that He can't change. And I'm convicted of it continually. I mean, even last month, I shared with you a little bit that my daughter, she was injured in a horse jumping accident and had sustained major head injuries. And I was very shaken, and I wondered, wait a minute, didn't I write a book, Unshaken? And I felt the Lord just kept speaking to me softly, Unshaken, remember Unshaken. So I'm in the ICU. I'm, of course, terrified of losing my daughter, and she's got a brain bleed. And I'm thinking, but wait, the only thing that can change is who He is and how He sees me. And that just, I had to get it at a deeper level. So when we recognize that, though, then we're not shaken. Just the things that happen throughout the day. So it's recognizing that. Another piece that I go into the book, I call them intimacy blockers, mm-hmm. is that I think we don't realize what we allow that blocks intimacy with Him. Mm-hmm. We tend to just blame Him. Well, He's not here today. You know, He's on vacation. He's busy. He's, you know, mm-hmm. He's unpredictable. He's whatever. And there's a lot of things that we do that blocks that intimacy, because again, His heart is so intense and passionate for you to have intimacy with you. And so He always desires that. And so things like stress, I've been teaching a lot lately on stress, because we don't think that it's sin. We think, well, the Bible says do not fear, but it doesn't say do not stress. Well, it's the same thing. You know, stress is rooted in a lie that we're believing.
You know, I have no anxiety about anything.
Yeah, so next time you're stressed, ask the Lord to show you, wait a minute, what lie am I believing about myself or about you, God? Because there's all, and all throughout the day experience stress, and I have to stop and say, okay, I'm believing a lie about you. And so I confess that. So it's that constantly recognizing that fear, stress, frustration, anger, bitterness, putting ourselves down, being hard on ourselves, being critical of other people, all the little things that we do throughout the day that we think are just part of life or just part of our personality or just being human, or yes, it is being human, but it does block intimacy with Him. And so I think one of the first steps is just to be aware of those things and then being committed to doing what you need to do to cut the enemy's handle that you've given him. So confess, and I lay out these things in the book, but confess and forgive and cancel Satan's authority, because that you will start experiencing intimacy like never before. And then the other thing, I call defensive moves, and then I outline offensive moves, is being aware of what you're saying, of what you're thinking throughout the day. And it helps me to just continually thank God out loud throughout the day. You know, thank you, God, that you see me as beautiful even when I'm weak or when I'm wrong. Thank you that how you see me never changes. Thank you that you see me as perfect in the Holy of Holies. And so I have to just say out loud throughout the day and thank Him for how He sees me and for who He is. And I dwell on what He's done for me, that He took on death for me, even though death was the most contaminating thing in Leviticus, and He became a red heifer in a sense for me. And so I dwell on that. I choose to dwell on those things. I mean, Philippians tells us to whatever is true, to dwell on that. And yeah. We don't realize, I think, throughout the day what we do dwell on. We dwell on negative things. We dwell on fearful things. We say things that have to do with fear. And we need to just be have almost like our antennas fine-tuned to those things throughout the day that we can do. And then the other piece that I expand on in the action plan part of the book is understanding and knowing what's on God's heart, and then aligning your heart with what's on His heart. And there's a whole action plan.
Yes.
There's lots of steps.
It's so important to remember that. And really what you're getting at is we need to understand what the Word of God tells us about God, mm-hmm. and not necessarily go by our feelings. How does God see me? I am counted righteous in Jesus Christ because of what Christ did for me. And I appreciate that you raised one passage that always comes to mind whenever I hear about stress and mm-hmm. anxiety and my relationship with the Lord. And that's in Luke 10, where here is the Lord with Mary and Martha. Mm-hmm. And Martha, right. You know, we remember this whole story, and the Lord says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mm. And when she wanted her sister to come and work, help me, help me, help me.
Right.
When you look at that passage and you see how the Lord said, few things are needed, indeed only one. What does the Lord mean by that?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's been a key for me, is knowing that that one thing is intimacy. That is the primary, first of all, it's our primary purpose for living. One time I felt, I had a friend who died from cancer, and I was really down, and you get in that point and you think, why are we even here if this is what happens? And Lord, what is this life even about? And He just spoke to me and said, to know me. And I thought, oh, that's right. It's just our primary purpose is to experience that intimacy with Him. And when we are convinced of that, then He really wants to relieve our stress, because it's so much easier when we know that we really only have to focus on one thing. Mm. I mean, I wake up and I'm like a queen of to-do lists. I've got to-do lists to update my to-do list. And I've just got so many to-do lists.
I never
get to them all. But I wake up during the night and I think of it. And wherever I am, I think of, I'm adding things onto it. And I can wake up in the morning and think about all I have to get done and feel overwhelmed before I even start the day. And I have to have my prayer time in the morning, because I have to have that time to get my mind kind of turned around on truth. And I confess that I'm feeling overwhelmed. And then God reminds me, and I have to remind myself, wait a minute, I don't have to focus on all these things on my to-do list today. I need to focus on one thing, and that's intimacy with Him. And that means having that antenna up and being aware of anything that blocks intimacy, and choosing to dwell on Him and who He is, and doing the things that we can do to grow closer to intimacy with Him. And then you know what? He takes care of the rest when I focus on that one thing. But when we try to focus on everything, we're doing everything out of a place of not being in intimacy with him in our own strength.
Right.
And then we don't experience him and we think, where is he? And, you know, you feel dried up and you start resenting God.
Well
he wants me to do all this. He wants me to do this ministry. He wants me to help all these people or whatever it is. And God spoke to my heart one time and said, I died for you, not for you to work for me. Hmm. Our work should come out of a place of intimacy.
Right.
And when it does, it's like you have joy. I can always tell when I'm working out of my own strength because I don't have joy.
Well, and it's like the Lord says in John 15 when he talks about being the vine and we are the branches.
Yes.
And apart from him, we can do nothing. And I always go back to that passage. No matter how much you think you're working for the Lord and achieving things for him, if you are not connected, then you will be nothing. I mean, it all comes, our strength and our sustenance comes from the Lord himself. And we need to continually go back and not just believe the right things, but have fellowship with him.
Yes.
That's really what you're getting at, isn't it? Just having that deep abiding fellowship with the Lord day by day.
Absolutely. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, you know, we turn on the news, there's always something every day. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives and we don't know what's going to happen in the world. But we know that, well, the only thing that can change is the intimacy, and we know that who he is and how he sees us, and we have that close fellowship. And also, we can stand unshaken, but you know what? Also, it's preparing us for Jesus' return.
Oh, yes.
Because he comes, and I have share a lot about this in the book, but he's coming back as our bridegroom. And that used to mean nothing to me. In fact, it was a negative. It's like, what is this bridegroom thing? Does not mean anything to me. And I started asking the Lord to show me. And now it just means everything to me.
Yes.
And it's a very intimate relationship. And so he's coming back to have a very intimate relationship with us as our bridegroom, and we want to be prepared. So this is all part of that preparation for his return as well.
Very exciting. Well, it is such a wonderful thing for us to refocus on, and that is intimacy with the Lord, and this is what it's all about in the Christian life. And you can read in the book, Unshaken, Standing Strong in Uncertain Times, more about your fellowship with the Lord and also some other great things that Jeannie Nigro has been kind enough to share with us. Again, Jeannie, so good to be with you. So good to have you here. JeannieNigro.com, her website. And thanks a lot for being with us.
It's been wonderful. Thanks for having me, Janet.
Thank you. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Janet Mefford Today. God bless you. JanetMefford.com.